Hi there, boys and girls. This is Jello Biafra, and you're listening to CFMU 93.3 FM. Why?
These songs and stories have magic. Close your eyes and imagine the land they come from. Listen and sing along, and you will feel the magic too. Shh. Listen.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
Fudugazi, the great old tortoise from the very southern tip of the African continent. You may know it as South Africa, but the people who live here, the AmaZulu people, call it Ningizimu Afrika. This is a beautiful land, a wondrous and majestic place under a bright blue African sky with wide rivers running throughout and incredible animals living everywhere, like huge elephants, fast cheetahs, fierce lions, horny rhinoceroses, fat hippopotamuses, and the revered leopard. Of all the many animals here, you may have heard I'm the slowest. That may be true, but the AmaZulu people say I'm the wisest. They respect me because I am old, older than any living person. I have lived 193 years and I plan to have many more birthdays. Not only do we tortoises live to an old age, we also know how to listen very closely and have a great memory. From the time of the first people, we have been listening and learning the many songs that the AmaZulus have sung. And from the youngest child to the oldest grandparent, they love to sing together. Their songs have seen them through good times and through very hard times as they sing about the beauty of their land and the special love they feel for one another. They sing in isiZulu, their language, filled with real-life sounds. And since I have the best memory and know the most songs and stories, the people and animals have chosen me to share them with you. These songs and stories have magic. Close your eyes and imagine the land they come from. Listen and sing along, and you will feel the magic too. Listen, I hear some singing now.
Iti kobagase,
iti kunyala samahlamvu, kanje, ziphumula kanjani na isinyoni sidlengeni. Iti kobagase, iti kunyaka samahlamvu, kanje, ziphumula kanjani na isinyoni sidlengeni. Imithi kobakahle, iti kunyaka samahlamvu, kanje.
kanje kanje.
Listen to the wind blow. The trees are bending in the storm, and the birds are having a hard time staying in the trees. Even their nests may be blown away and the babies lost. Why is there such a gale? Perhaps the ancestors are unhappy. Many of the old songs aren't being sung and are disappearing from the face of the earth. The songs must be sung to be saved. Children are leaving home and running to climb the trees to save the birds. All they need to do is sing the songs, and the winds would disappear. If only they knew. Help sing the songs. Help the birds. Help the children.
Trees, they are bending this way, that way. The leaves, they are shaking this way and that, this way and that. See how they rest this sunny day, those pretty birds in happy home. The trees, they are bending this way, that way. The leaves, they are shaking.
I'm Carol Lee Waking, and I'm a storyteller. I'm going to start with a story from Denmark. It's called A Bed Just So. There was once a cobbler who was a very good cobbler. But after a time, he stopped being a good cobbler because he didn't get his work done. And the reason he didn't get his work done was that he never got any sleep at night. And the reason he didn't get any sleep at night was that every night when he got into bed, put his head on the pillow, blew out the candle, closed his eyes, there would be a stamping and a stomping and a mumbling and a grumbling, and then the covers would be snatched right off the bed and he'd be shivering all night long. Well, he never got any sleep. Every night the same thing. Into bed, put his head on the pillow, blew out the candle, and then there would be a stomping and a stamping and a mumbling and a grumbling, and the covers snatched right off the bed. Well, after a while, he was so sleepy that he would fall asleep over his work. And he thought, oh, this won't do at all. So he went into the village and walked all the way to the other end of it to ask the wise woman what he should do. He said, help me. I can't sleep at night. I can't work in the day because I'm so sleepy. Please help me. Every night when I go to bed, as soon as I've blown out the candle, there's a stomping and a stamping and a mumbling and a grumbling, and then the covers are snatched right off my bed. What can I do? Do you think I'm witched? And the wise woman said, oh, no, you're not witched. If you were witched, your feet would be growing on backward, and your hair would be growing upside down. No, you're not witched. What you have is a hudgeon. And that's even harder to deal with than a witch. And the cobbler said, oh no, what am I going to do? How will I get rid of it? And the wise woman said, oh, you can't get rid of a hudgeon. If it decides to live with you, then that's that. Now, they're not dangerous. But what hudgeons want is a bed just so, a bed just exactly the way they want a bed. And he said, okay, well, what kind of a bed does a hudgeon want? And the wise woman said, now this is the hard part. You'll have to figure that out for yourself, for every hudgeon likes a different kind of bed. But when you find the right bed, the hudgeon will settle down and you'll be all right. Well, the poor cobbler went home, and he was thinking all the way home, what kind of a bed would a hudgeon want? What is a hudgeon? He had no idea what to do. But when he got home and he looked at his bed, he thought, well, the hudgeon snatches the covers off my bed every night. Maybe it wants a bed like mine. So he made a big wooden bed, and he put it in his bedroom right next to his own bed. And that night he thought, ah, now I'll get a good night's sleep. He got into bed, pulled up the covers, put his head on the pillow, whoosh, blew out the candle, and a tiny little voice started complaining. Too high! Too hard! Too high! Too hard! That went on all night long. He got no sleep at all. So the next day he got up tired than ever and said, well, it didn't like the bed just like mine. Too high, too hard. Well, maybe it would like a low, soft bed. So he made a low bed. And he filled it with cotton wool so that it would be very soft. And he put it in his bedroom right next to his own bed. That night he got into bed, pulled up the covers, put his head on the pillow, blew out the candle, and a tiny voice started complaining. Too soft, too tickly, too soft, too tickly. Well, that went on all night long. He didn't get any sleep that night either. So the next day he thought, well, it doesn't like a high, hard bed. It doesn't like a low, soft bed. What kind of bed would it like? He thought, maybe not a regular bed at all. So he hung a hammock in his room. And that night he went to bed. He pulled up the covers, put his head on the pillow, whoosh, blew out the candle, and too long, too loose, too long, too loose. And that went on all night long. He got no sleep at all. Well, the next day he just couldn't think what to do. He was so tired. At lunchtime he nearly fell asleep in his soup. And he thought, oh, I don't even have the energy to make a bed today. What will I do? Well, he walked into the village and he went to a store. And there he saw a cradle. He thought, well, now that would be a nice bed for a hudgeon. A cradle. So he bought the cradle and he brought it home. And he put it in his room right next to his bed. And that night he got into bed, pulled up the covers, put his head on the pillow, whoosh, blew out the candle, and it went on all night long. He got no sleep at all. The next day he thought, I can't stand it. I can't go on like this any longer. He thought, I know. I'll make a bed and put it somewhere where I won't be able to hear that voice. So he made a little bed from a matchbox and he put it in the cupboard and he closed the cupboard door. That night he got into bed, pulled up the covers, put his head on the pillow, blew out the candle, and a tiny little voice from behind the cupboard door was saying, too dark, too stuffy, too dark, too stuffy. It went on all night long, and he didn't get any sleep at all. Well, the next day, he didn't even try to work. He was much, much too tired. And then when evening came, he had a little supper. And then for dessert, he had a walnut. And as he was eating his walnut, he looked down at the table and there was that tiny little walnut shell. And he thought, well, maybe I could make a bed from that. And so he did. He took the walnut shell and he filled it with dandelion fluff and peach fuzz. And then he put a little maple leaf over it for a cover. And then that evening he put it on the windowsill beside his bed. He got into bed, pulled up the covers, put his head on the pillow, whoosh, blew out the candle and waited. And then he began to hear a tiny little voice. It was a little hum. It sounded happy. So he got up on his knees and he looked on the windowsill and a moonbeam was just coming through the window and lighting up the little walnut shell. And in that walnut shell, there was a tiny dot, no bigger than a mustard seed. And the humming was coming from the little dot. And it said, oh, I do
like a bed just so. I do like a bed just so. And then it was quiet. And the cobbler got a good night's sleep that night and every night after.
Here is a good sing-along and dance song. Vulani at the beginning of the song means make it wide. Everyone stands in the circle singing and clapping hands. One person steps into the middle and turns, trying to find a partner. When it comes to you are my great big friend, they grab a partner from the circle and dance round and round in the ring with them. And it goes faster and faster and faster. Try to keep up.
Vulani ring.
Listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
This is a story by Dick Gackenbach, and he gave me permission to tell the story, which is really nice because you can't buy this book anymore. It's called McGugan Moves the Mighty Rock, and it's not even in very many libraries. So the best chance most people have of knowing about this story is to hear it told. And Mr. Gackenbach wrote me a lovely letter, very generously saying, oh yes, please do tell my story. Himself, McGugan, master guitar player and singer of songs, stepped out of the blistering sun and into the shade of a mighty rock. He took off his pack and laid down his guitar. He opened his pack and laid out his food with the manners of a prince, his hard rolls and his soft cheese. And his appetite was good and he ate quickly. Then he leaned back against the rock and patted his belly. Ah, me belly's full and me mind's at rest, he said. Now 'tis time to feed me spirit. And he picked up his guitar and played his fingers gently over the strings and made a beautiful sound come out. He began to sing a song of the sea, of mermaids and waves and whales, a beautiful song about the sea. And when he was finished, bravo, well done, said a voice. Sure, and I thought I was alone, said McGugan. Sing it again, said the voice. McGugan looked around him. He went all the way around the rock, and there was no one there. There's not another soul in sight, he said. Now I wonder, could it be that I have the pleasure of addressing myself to a talking rock? I'm glad you heard me, said the rock. Most men do not. Ah, well, there's some as never listens, said McGugan. As for me, I've heard many a thing on my travels. I've heard the winds and howling around the high mountain passes and whispering through the trees. I've seen storms at sea and heard the great whales sing. I've heard of the birds of many a land. And now I'm talking to a rock. Sing another song about the sea, said the rock. And how would you know about the sea, said Mugugun. Oh, I know, said the rock, from the songs of other men that have sat in my shade. Is it any wonder, then, that I long to see the sea myself some day? See it yourself, said Mugugun. Ha! I've traveled many a place. I've been a place where there's no water for miles around, a desert, they call it. And I've been where there's trees taller than a mountain. And where there are men no taller than a bush. I've been where there's so much water that there's not any land around. That's the sea, said the rock. Oh, I'd love to see it. Well, Mugugun laughed. Oh, you have about as much chance of seeing the sea as I have of living in a palace and keeping me toes warm in the winter. Is that your dream, said the rock? Why, 'tis one of them, said Mugugun. Well, said the rock, then you could have your dream, and I could see the sea. And how would that be, said Mugugun. Oh, you'll take me there, said the rock. Mugugun looked hard at the rock. And why would I be doing that? For gold, said the rock simply. For a nugget of gold as big as your fist. Where would you be getting the gold, said Mugugun. Oh, I have it within me, said the rock. And how would I be getting that out, said Mugugun. Oh, trust me, said the rock. Mugugun thought for a long time. He walked back and forth front of the rock, and then finally he snapped his fingers and he danced a little jig and he said, I'll do it for that much gold. I'd carry me mean cousin Charlie to the gates of hell and back, I would. Besides, I like you. I fancy the pleasure of your company. Oh, wonderful, said the rock. When do we go? Today, if you like, said Mugugun. Today it is, then, said the rock. And Mugugun opened his pack and took out a little axe. He went into the woods nearby, and he chopped down two small saplings, two little trees, and he came back with a long pole. One he put at the base of the rock, and the other he used as a lever. We're off, you big bogey, said Mugugun, and pulled down on the little tree. And slowly, very slowly, Mugugun and the mighty rock started toward the sea. Well, the days that followed were hot and hard on Mugugun. On the uphill days, they scarcely moved forward more than an inch or two. But the downhill days were fast and easy. One morning, soon after they had set out, a man stopped Mugugun on the road and asked for a bit of rock for a well he was building. Mugugun didn't know how to answer, so he excused himself and ran around to the other side of the rock. He said, he wants a bit of you for a well he's building. The rock said, is the well a good thing? Aye, a well's a good thing, said Mugugun. Then let him have the stone, said the rock. And that evening, as they were camped, as usual, by their little fire, Mugugun put his hand on the rock and he said, did it hurt at all, the chippin, when the man took the stone? No, said the rock, I didn't feel a thing. Aye, well, said Mugugun, patting the rock, I'm glad of that. And then, as every night, he took out his guitar and began to sing till it was time for sleep. And Mugugun had never had a finer audience than his great friend, the rock. After that, many people stopped them on the road. Some wanted stone for a fence, some for a bridge, a milestone, a whetstone, a doorstone, a millstone, even a gravestone when needed. And each time when someone asked for some stone, the rock only wanted to know one thing. Is it a good thing that's wanted? And if Mugugun said it was, then the rock was generous. But if Mugugun said it was not, No stone was given. One day a man with a cart stopped Magugan and demanded some stone for a wall he was building. "Aye, and what would you be wanting a wall for?" said Magugan. "Why, for to keep some folks in," said the man, "and to keep other folks out." "No stone for him," said Magugan to the rock, and the rock agreed, "No stone." Day after day went on like this, until one night by the campfire the rock said to Magugan, "Am I still a great burden for you?" And Magugan reached out and touched the rock and said, "No, you're hardly bigger than a stone yourself now. You've been so generous." Days went on, and finally one morning, Magugan looked up into the bright blue sky, and there, wheeling above him and crying, were white birds. "Today's the day," he said, jumping up. "Today's the day we'll see the sea." "Oh, don't tease me, Magugan," said the rock. "No," said Magugan, "those are seagulls up there, and seagulls are by the sea." They set off cheerfully that morning, Magugan and the rock. They said very little, except Magugan answered his friend's endless question. "Soon? Will it be soon?" "Aye," said Magugan, "soon." And at last, there were the sand dunes ahead of them. Magugan picked up the rock and tucked it under his arm. And up over the dunes he ran and down onto the beach, and there it was. The sea spread out under the sun before them with the sunlight glittering on the waves. "There it is, you big bogey," said Magugan. "There's the sea." And Magugan and the rock went into the shallows, and the waves sloshed around Magugan's feet and around the rock. And neither of them said anything for a long time. And then the rock finally spoke. "It's more beautiful than my wildest imagining," said the rock. "The nugget of gold is yours, Magugan. Take it." Magugan said, "Take it?" "Yes," said the rock. "There's very little of me left. There's only a thin shell around the nugget of gold." "You've earned it, Magugan. Take it." And Magugan said, "You mean break you open?" "Aye," said the rock, "you've earned it." "Oh, no, I couldn't do that," said Magugan. "You mean more to me than any nugget of gold." And the rock said, but what about the girl you were going to marry, a girl like a princess?" "Oh, she'd only be wanting me for me money," said Magugan. "I'll find a girl who loves me for myself." "But what about the palace and keeping your toes warm in winter?" said the rock. "Ah, I'm happy on the move. I'd be restless in a palace," said Magugan. "Ah, well then," said the rock, "you're very kind. Nevertheless, I'm sorry our journey has to end." "Ended?" said Magugan. "Oh, now you remember me telling you about the place where there's no trees and no water around." "Aye," said the rock, "that's a desert." "And you remember me telling you about where the trees grow high as mountains?" "Aye," said the rock. "And where there are people who grow no taller than a bush?" "Aye," said the rock, I remember. "Well then," said Magugan, "permit me the pleasure of showing them to you." "Oh," said the rock, "there's nothing I'd like better than traveling with the likes of you. You're full of gold yourself, Magugan." And so they were off. Magugan, master guitar player and singer of songs, and nugget of gold as big as your fist. And all the way they were laughing with the seagulls and singing with the waves and having a grand old time.
The end.
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.